Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. Beth Emmanuel relies on the generosity of our listeners to sustain our Messianic synagogue. Please consider a donation to Beth Emmanuel, where Messianic Judaism is more than an idea. It's really happening.
We refer to the event at Mount Sinai as Matan Torah, the gift of the Torah, or the giving of the Torah. But it's more than that. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, and all Israel heard his voice, his utterances, in the form of 10 commandments, for that moment, he interrupted the universe. From the 6 days of creation until that very moment, the universe had been running, as designed, a world of concealment that conceals from our view the reality behind the curtain. In the world of concealment, it appears that there is no God, and that everything happens according to a fixed order of cause and effect. The universe seems to run like a complex clock that has been wound up and left to mark off time. All of its intricate interlocking gears and wheels spinning in perfect coordination, in complete automation, without any need for further input or tampering from outside the system. But at Mount Sinai, the clock stopped. Time stood still, because God interrupted the world that he created with a powerful self-revelation that utterly dispelled the illusion of concealment. He spoke to those assembled below the mountain, "I am the Lord who brought you out from Egypt," a grand debut. Then he revealed who he really is, and what he desires, and what is right, and what is good, in a series of laws with perfect moral clarity, the Ten Commandments, and then all the Torah. More than just a law code, the Torah is God's revelation in this world. The word revelation means unveiling, a revealing. There is a God, and he is a personal God, and he is a righteous God, and a rewarder of righteousness, and a punisher of sin. This is the meaning of the revelation of the Torah, the meaning of the event at Mount Sinai, and everything that we know about God has come to us through that revelation. The rest of the Bible has come to us through that initial revelation. Mount Sinai is like a light in the darkness, a flash of lightning in thick darkness that suddenly illuminates the night and momentarily dispels all doubt. The fire on Sinai lit a flame of light that still burns, like the burning bush atop the mountain that burns on but is not consumed. Its light still beckons to those in the darkness. Light and love and right and truth and holiness and whatever can be known about God entered the world at Mount Sinai when Hashem spoke from atop the mountain and gave the Torah. But when God gave the Torah at Mount Sinai, he gave it to one nation and one nation only, the children of Israel. He made an exclusive covenant with the Jewish people, and the Torah itself and all its commandments, including the Ten Commandments spoken from Mount Sinai, are the terms of that exclusive covenant. He said to the Jewish people, "If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For even though all the earth is mine, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Therefore, the Torah and all its commandments are the possession of the nation of Israel. As the Apostle Paul puts it, "To them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the Torah, the worship, and the promises," Romans 9:4. The Torah is the terms of the covenant between God and the Jewish people. Likewise, the commandment of the Sabbath that was spoken from Mount Sinai belongs to the Jewish people. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel. Exodus 31:17. The Torah is likened to the ketubah between God and Israel, where Israel represents the bride and God represents the bridegroom. In a similar marital analogy, the Torah is likened to a bride and Israel to the bridegroom. The idea in both cases, in both analogies, is that the Torah is exclusively about the relationship between God and Israel. It does not belong to the other nations. This is why the apostles decided not to make the Torah incumbent upon disciples from the nations, because the Torah is Jewish. This is true not only of the Torah, but of the whole Bible. The whole Bible consists of the scriptures of Israel. Contrary to what Justin Martyr says in his dialogue with Trypho, when he declared to Trypho the Jew, the scriptures are not yours, but ours. The whole Bible belongs to the Jewish people. But the Midrash suggests a broader scope for the revelation at Sinai. One Midrash says, why did Hashem give the Torah in the wilderness and not in the land of Israel? And the answer, he gave the Torah in the wilderness that belonged to no nation in order to show that his revelation is for all humanity. Another Midrash says, before God gave the Torah to Israel, he first offered it to each of the 70 nations. Only Israel agreed to the terms. Another Midrash says that when God's voice spoke the Ten Commandments, his voice split into 70 languages, speaking the commandments in every human language. Another Midrash says that when Moses recited the Torah on the plains of Moab, the book of Deuteronomy, he did so in all languages. Another Midrash says that when Joshua wrote the Torah out on the plastered altar atop Mount Ebal, very clearly, he wrote it out in all 70 languages. These traditions acknowledge a competing idea that exists in the Torah itself, that the Torah is not only for Israel, but for all of humanity. The Torah does not begin with the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It begins with the creation of Adam, Adam Rishon, the first human being, the father of humanity. And when the story of Noah comes, we learn that the wickedness of humanity incurs the judgment of the flood. God makes a covenant with Noah and his sons, and it tells us the tale of his sons. The Torah preserves not just the line of Shem to bring us to Abraham. Instead, it records the names of 70 sons of Noah who become the 70 fathers of the 70 nations. Even when the Torah narrows its focus down to Abraham, it immediately broadens the scope to a universal scope. Abraham is going to be a blessing to all nations. All the families of the earth will bless themselves in him. All the families of the earth will bless themselves in his seed. He will be the father of many nations. Hashem makes these universal promises to Abraham, but he gives him no indication of how these things will come to pass or by what means they will come about. How will one man bless all nations and become a father of many nations? How will it be that all families of the earth will be blessed in his seed? It is the Torah, the revelation of the Torah. Moses tells the children of Israel that the Torah will draw the nations near to Hashem because they will see the Jewish people observing its laws, keeping its commandments, and they will say, what nation on earth is there with such wisdom and righteous laws as this that has a God so near to it as Hashem is near to them whenever they pray to him? And King Solomon, when he built the temple in Jerusalem, he had the same heart for all humanity. He spoke of the nations who would hear of Hashem's fame and come to Jerusalem to pray toward this temple. So he asked Hashem to hear from heaven and to answer the prayer of the strangers from the nations who pray toward his temple. As Isaiah said, in the future messianic era, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. And this is the role of Israel, to be a light to the nations. This is the meaning of the word that Hashem speaks in our parsha. Among all peoples, all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. No priest is a priest only for himself, and no priesthood is a priesthood unless it represents a community of people. A king is not a king unless he has a kingdom and a people to rule. And a priesthood is not a priesthood unless it meditates and intercedes for a people. In this manner, Israel is the priestly kingdom among the nations, on behalf of the nations. And the Jewish people fulfill this obligation by receiving the revelation of the Torah from Mount Sinai, thereby bringing the divine word of God into this world. Israel is the vector for God's revelation and self-disclosure to all humanity. He chose Israel to be his priesthood in that the Jewish people are assigned the task of shining this light of God's revelation to all nations. Israel has done so through the light of the Holy Scriptures, the Torah, the word of the prophets, the sacred writings. In that way, the nation has served this role as holy priesthood among the nations, introducing the idolatrous and polytheistic world to the one true God who says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I am the Lord." Exodus 20:3-5. The prophets looked to a future day when instead of worshiping the false gods and idols of the world, the nations would come to the light of the revelation of God that spills forth not from Mount Sinai, not any longer, but from the holy temple on Mount Zion. Arise, shine! Nations will come to your light. Those walking in darkness have seen a great light. This is the light of the revelation of God, the light of the Torah. Isaiah said to the Jewish people, "You will be a light to the nations." And in that same spirit, he prophesied regarding the servant of the Lord, of whom Hashem says, "It is too small a thing to redeem only the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the remnant of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Isaiah 49:6. How will the Jewish people be a light to nations? Through the light of the Torah, which is the revelation of Hashem in this world. Isaiah predicts a day when the Torah will not be the sole possession of the Jewish people. Instead, in that day, the nations will say, "Come, let us go up to the Temple Mount, to the Beit HaMikdash, the house of the God of Israel, the God of the Jewish people. He will teach us his ways. We will walk in his judgments. Then the Torah will go out from Zion, and the word of the Lord will go out from Jerusalem." To where will it go out? It will go out to the nations. In another prophecy, Isaiah says that the nations will flock to the Messiah like an army mustering around a standard. The prophecy says that he will judge between the nations and settle disputes among them. His judgments will be righteous judgments based upon the Torah of Hashem. He will be the agent that brings the Torah to the nations. There's another prophecy in Isaiah about the Messiah bringing the Torah to the nations. It says in Isaiah 42:1-4, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged until he has established justice in the whole earth, and the coastlands, the most distant places, wait for his Torah. If not for the light of the revelation of the Torah, how else will human beings know about God? How else are human beings to see the light of Hashem? I'll tell you what Hashem could have done. He could have revealed himself to all the nations instead of just Israel. He could have done a Mount Sinai on every continent, in every country, and started 70 different monotheistic religions for the 70 nations. But that's not how he works. God is one. One revelation. One Torah. The sages say that the Torah is a gem with 70 facets. But it is one gem, not 70 gems. If this had never happened, we could dismiss such sweeping universal aspirations and prophecies as Middle Eastern heat-induced delusions of grandeur. But the fact is that these prophecies have already been fulfilled in great measure. When these prophecies were first spoken, when the Torah was first given, the whole world worshipped idols, cruel demons, and false gods. But since then, the light of the revelation of the Torah has penetrated every corner of the globe. The whole world has at least heard of the God of Israel, that there is one God, that he is good, righteous, and true, and that he holds us accountable. How did this happen? If you haven't picked up my drift, I'm testifying to you about my personal faith and belief that Yeshua of Nazareth is the Messiah of Israel, a light to the nations, and the Savior of the world. I'm giving you reason number two. A few weeks ago, I taught reason number one for believing that Yeshua of Nazareth is the Messiah. Reason number one was that Yeshua of Nazareth was a real guy, a historical figure, well known in his day among the Jewish people as a good man who drew disciples after him, who taught a message of repentance, who was known for his miracles, who was put to death by Pontius Pilate, who was reported to have risen from the dead. And I presented that evidence to this effect, not from the Bible, not from the Gospels, not from church writings, but from the first century Jewish Galilean historian Josephus, a contemporary of the apostles. That was reason number one. This really happened. Today, I'm giving you reason number two for believing that Yeshua of Nazareth is the Messiah. Reason number two is that he is a teacher of Torah to the nations. He has brought the revelation of God to all nations. Monotheism, the name of the God of Israel, the Torah of Israel, the scriptures of Israel, righteousness, and truth have all been proclaimed to the nations only for his name's sake. There is no other movement, no other Jewish movement that has accomplished anything like this at all. No other Jewish outreach program, no other Jewish effort to enlighten the nations at no other time in history has been attempted. But even if it has been attempted, no other attempt has succeeded on a global scale. But this is where we stand today. We can see the success of Yeshua of Nazareth in teaching Torah to the nations. This is not up for debate. It's not a subjective type of thing. It's not something that you can only see if you look at it through the eyes of faith. This is reality. This is the truth. This is what has happened and is happening even today as the message of the gospel continues to go forth to all nations. The Apostle Paul, apostle to the nations, spoke of the nations living in the darkness of ignorance about God in ages past. But now the Messiah has been revealed, and the day of the Lord is at hand, and the Messianic era is about to commence. God calls the nations to repent. Here's the words of Paul. He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward Him and find Him. In past generations, He allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent. And they have repented, or they have begun to. The Torah has been going out from Zion and the word of Hashem from Jerusalem in the name of Yeshua since the days of the apostles. It has gone forth and toppled idols in the name of Yeshua, spread truth and revelation in the name of Yeshua, and civilized whole nations of barbarians in the name of Yeshua. Sometimes it seems like it's two steps forward, one step back, but it's still moving forward. The burning bush is still burning. The voice from Mount Sinai is still speaking, but it speaks today through His Son, through the revelation that spreads the knowledge of Hashem to all nations. This is reality. This is the undeniable fact. It is the undeniable truth. And it is a huge reason to believe that Yeshua of Nazareth is the Messiah. No one else in all of history even comes close to accomplishing this. A Muslim might say, well, Muhammad has done as much, but that's not true. If not for Christianity, there would not have been a Muhammad. If Muhammad has spread monotheism and some knowledge of God to the world, however twisted, he has done so because Islam is a wayward daughter of Christianity, based upon the same Torah and also the Gospel, which are considered to be among the holy books of Islam. And you can read in the Quran that Isa, Jesus, the son of Mary, is the Messiah of Israel and a teacher of repentance. So even what little light of revelation and good, if any, has come into the world through Islam, it has been but a thin ray of light of Yeshua penetrating the darkness. There is no other candidate in the running who fulfills this criteria of teacher of Torah to the nations. No prophet has arisen in Israel like Moses, who taught the Torah to Israel. But Yeshua of Nazareth has taught the Torah of Moses to all nations. Apostles and missionaries have carried the revelation of Sinai all over the world in His name. As Yeshua said to His disciples, greater works than these you will do. I could go on, but I prefer to turn to a Jewish voice who has articulated reason number two better than I could do. In the late 19th century, an esteemed district rabbi of Hungary made the same case for Yeshua of Nazareth. Listen to the words of Rabbi Isaac Lichtenstein as he summarizes reason number two for believing that Yeshua of Nazareth is the Messiah. Was the promise which God gave Father Abraham, "In you all nations of the earth will be blessed," merely a deception, a vanishing dream? Or is it Yeshua, who after thousands of years has spread this blessing over the entire world, as the heavens are spread over all the earth? Was he not the second Moses, who showed the God of Israel to the whole world? Consider the evidence. Without any assistance from us, the Jewish people, the Bible, Old and New Testament alike, has gradually become the book for all humanity. The ideal envisioned by Moses and all the prophets has come to pass through the Messiah's shed blood, the blood of the covenant for all nations, all peoples without regard to color, class, or race, are made children of one father, brothers of one household, members of one body, vessels of one spirit, and made one in God. All peoples have been brought to the true center of the nations. They have been brought to God through the right leader, the only mediator between man and God, Yeshua the Messiah. Yeshua, Israel's Messiah, is the standard of the people. For this reason, we can be very bold. We need not be timid about our faith in Yeshua of Nazareth. It should be obvious to us that this is all real. Not only does his role as a successful teacher of Torah to all nations testify to validate his claim to be the Messiah, it also testifies to validate the Torah itself, the promises to Abraham, and the predictions of the prophets. Yeshua's role in bringing the revelation of the Torah to all nations actually validates the Torah. Not only does it prove that he is who he says he is, it proves that the Torah is what it says it is. And this is like what it says in Isaiah 41 as the Lord argues against the false gods of the nations. He mocks them, inviting them to predict the future or tell us about what happened in the past, and they cannot. None can declare what was from the beginning or what will come, but Hashem has done so. And what he declares, they cannot. None can declare what was from the beginning or what will come. But Hashem has done so. And here's what he declares, that there will be a redemption, and he will bring a herald of the good news to Zion and to Jerusalem. Isaiah 41 says in verses 21 to 27, "Set forth your case, says the Lord. Bring your proofs, says the King of Jacob. Let the false gods bring them and tell us what is to happen. Tell us the former things and what they are, that we may consider them, that we may know their outcome. Or declare to us the things that are to come. Tell us what is to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Do good or do harm, that we may be dismayed and terrified. Who declared it from the beginning, that we might know? And beforehand, that we might say, he is right. There was none who declared it, none who proclaimed, none who heard your words. I was the first to say to Zion, behold, here they are, and I give to Jerusalem a herald of good news." Hashem declared it from the beginning, from Bereishit. It's all in the Torah. And if we look into the light of the Torah that still shines from Mount Zion today, as it once shone from Mount Sinai, we will see the veil of this world of concealment lifted before our eyes. Hashem is real. The Torah is true. And Yeshua is his servant, the Messiah, a teacher to the nations. To close out this thought about reason number two, here's one more passage from Rabbi Lichtenstein. "That faith and righteousness to which Abraham was called, and through which Abraham should come to all the world, has become reality and historical fact in Yeshua the Messiah. All peoples are blessed in him. Our psalms are sung in every tongue. Our prophets are quoted, while our Torah is reverenced with devotion as the word of God. The songs of Zion may be heard in palaces and in peasants' hut alike. Everywhere can be heard, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God."
Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.